thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. And myself, Wally. What's going on, Ray? Dude, 8 o'clock.
Is my mic on?
Yeah, your mic's on, dog. No, actually, is it on? No, it's not.
No,
now it's on.
Saying, exactly.
There you go. There you go.
Well, maybe I wasn't heard in the background. I just spoke out of turn.
Now, exactly. So you're good
it's
now.
My first show in 3 weeks, so it's exciting to be back. Will T is out. It's amazing. We got this Martin Gina thing going on.
Yeah, I sure do. Real talk.
That happens kind of often.
Yeah, it does. It's like, and it goes on its own little run, its own little stretch. We're going to be gone for a minute anyway, till like the new year.
Yeah.
Like the last show, till new year, actually.
It's cool.
It is what it is, man. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at The Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T will usually say this. Ray hates when I do this. I got to do it anyway. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Philadelphia Eagles 28-13 on Monday night. At 8:20, we'll preview the Skins' next opponents in the New York Giants. At 8:30, we'll talk about the college football playoffs. At 8:40, we'll talk about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury ending their heavyweight title fight in a draw. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our Week 14 NFL picks. But first, the Redskins fell to the Eagles 28-13. Also, Skins quarterback Colt McCoy fractured his fibula and is out for the season. Your thoughts?
I want to first say I kind of like Jason Witten on Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's a joke. Are you serious?
I like the fact that he kept pointing out that that Mark Sanchez just got into the building a week ago. Man. That's what he kept saying. He just stepped into your building like 2 weeks ago, knowing
he was horrible, man.
No, basically saying you cannot win with Mark Sanchez.
That he made.
So forget about
it. I'm not arguing
that. And you
that.
Know what? That is the overwhelming sentiment amongst everyone. Is Mark Sanchez is your starter now. It's a wrap. Look forward to next season.
Yeah, that's if you're going into Mark Sanchez as your quarterback, that's the best you can do. That's the best you can do.
And then today the report came out that Cap was looked at, quote unquote, but
they decided not to
go in that direction. Why? But you got Mark Sanchez.
You know what? Yeah, that's the thing. You got Mark Sanchez. You're better off trying Cap anyway.
Why not?
You know, this is the thing. Like, I agree, and we'll get into it later, but to the point about Cap, I'm not the biggest fan of bringing Cap on his team now because I'd like to sign him in the offseason. I'm the type of dude, when I would sign him in the offseason, give him a playbook to deal with. But if you're going to have Mark Sanchez as your quarterback,
exactly,
you're better off having Cap. Like, I agree with you. I'm not arguing that. But like, I would get a quarterback who's playing this, because, you know, Cap's played like he's been 2 years out, 2 years out the league, basically.
So is Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. No. Oh. I'm saying I'm agreeing.
Oh, yeah,
I'm saying
yeah,
I'm agreeing
bad.
If you're
yeah,
going
yeah.
between the
he's,
two.
Yeah, he's been out the league
yeah,
for
so
about that, if
to
not
me,
more.
To me, I'm on this side of getting, like I've always said, I'll get a Sam Bradford before I get anybody because he's played
oh
football.
Gosh.
No, because he's played football.
Now that's funny.
No, because he'll
he's
play
not
football.
Even on a team though.
Yeah, but he
and,
played.
And you advocated for him at the beginning of the
yeah,
season.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's played football. Like, as much as we do, like, I think you take a break for like a year, you're not going to be the same dude. Unless you're not.
It's he just wasn't people. Even looked at. Kellen Clemens was looked at too.
A joke. Again, a guy who's been on a break, who hasn't played football for real in a minute. All I'm saying is that if you're going to go the route of getting a guy that you want to play, because you're going to put too much on Cap's plate anyway, regardless, I would sign Cap in the offseason and groom him to be the starter next season. That would be my play for Kaepernick.
For Jay Gruden, it's amazing, this quarterback carousel now, which, of course, has been caused by injury with RG3 right at the beltway. It's so unfortunate that now you don't have RG3 no more. You don't have Kirk Cousins anymore. You lost Alex Smith and you lost
Colt McCoy in the game.
Good gracious. But just tough overall for him.
Yeah.
I feel for Jay Gruden. Many of us in the media like Jay Gruden.
Yeah, I like Jay.
We do. I know that our boy Lex is going to go ham when he joins our other show. Check that out, by the way. But I personally feel like he's had some tough injuries these last two seasons, this year and last year. But getting back to the Eagles game,
yeah.
Not just who called the game, but the Redskins defense can't tackle.
And it's not even tackling, bro.
Moreau.
It's worse than tackling.
Stroman.
It's worse than tackling.
And Clinton Dix cannot tackle.
You're just being too nice. It's worse than tackling.
Okay.
It's worse than tackling, bro.
Okay, so tackling is a problem, right? Then Mason Foster experiment.
Bruh,
it has to end.
Bruh, it has to end. It has to end. Like, this is, it has to end.
I'm sorry to say, you were watching the game, right?
Yes, I was watching the game.
Did you hear Booger McFarland?
Booger McFarland said he was, they said they're liabilities.
No, but did you hear what he said?
How slow he is?
He said he's a downhill type of linebacker. He don't like running side to side. And then you watched him in pass coverage, and I was like, oh my God. He's too big.
He shouldn't be a start. Look, this, I'm sure Mason Foster is a nice guy. Like, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
That's where I was coming from. He's a hard worker.
I'm sure he's a hard worker. Fans can love him. Players can adore him. But we're talking about football players, like dudes that ball. He shouldn't be a starting inside linebacker for a defense that aspires to be dominant. If you aspire to be dominant, he can't start. Like, he can't start. Like, seriously, like, I'm watching the game.
True.
No, I'm watching the game. I'm dead serious. Like, Al and I are watching the game. I'm at my brother's place. We're watching the game.
Laughable.
And every freaking screen pass, he's getting blocked by a Kelsey, the center, and getting manhandled, getting pancaked. I'm like, dude, like, if anything, you're supposed to be able to stop the run. You're supposed to be able to be physical. You're getting punked by the center. You're getting punked by multiple linemen. You're not shitting blocks. What are you out there for? Like, seriously, why are you out there?
I hate even worse seeing him in space.
It's terrible. It's atrocious. It's atrocious.
A guy like Zach Ertz is his worst nightmare.
But it wasn't even.
I know it wasn't him, but
it wasn't. But see, you saw everything, though. See, that's the thing. Like this is what I'll give Witten and Booger McFarland credit for calling the game, because they were horrible. I'll be honest, they were horrible. Witten was talking about himself more than he was talking about the game. Like, they pointed out everything that I've been talking about when it came to
Mason Foster. So they were horrible then.
Huh? For that situation. Because they agree with me. Everything was perfect.
Oh, man.
Everything. Hey, have you seen their stuff? Like not just the Skins game, but their stuff on, like, social media online?
That doesn't matter. Go ahead.
They're horrible, bro. They're getting the worst.
You don't like
critiques.
Booger?
Not really.
I like Booger.
Not really.
We could have Dennis Leary back, is that was his name?
Nah, man, they should just get Troy Aikman and put him on Monday Night Football. I mean, Troy Aikman, I'm sorry. Tony Romo. They should put him on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
No, he's a beast. No, Tony Romo is a beast. I mean, he's a beast. Jason Witten should not be doing Monday Night Football. That's a joke. He shouldn't be. But back to the game, though.
I said Dennis Leary. Is that the right name?
Who you talking about? Dennis Leary? Oh, no, that's the wrong person. No. You're talking about Dennis Miller.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, okay, so tackling. If you watch the Eagles when they attacked the run game, when Adrian Peterson, who had a 90-yard run, didn't get 100 yards, they wrapped up quick.
Because they stopped running.
They were in the backfield. Now, the offensive line is banged up.
Yeah, I wouldn't need that. They got penetration. Offensive line was bad.
It was getting pushed back.
Badly. So that's different.
But I'm just saying they tackled.
They didn't tackle Jordan Reed. And he broke a couple of tackles to get a first down. Like, it's not like, again.
They tackled way better than Washington.
The Eagles,
come on, bro.
No. The Eagles. No. I'm not comparing the two. That's not what I'm doing.
I am, though.
No, it's more than tackling. I think you're just limiting tackling. That's the, like, you got to go. It's way more than tackling, bro. Like, what they did compared to what the Redskins didn't do. One, they target mismatches. So what they did was, over tackling, they went after Danny Johnson, the rookie, Stroman. They went against them consistently.
Yeah, Stroman, consistently. He needs more work, but yeah. I think he'll develop over
time. I think he could. I'm not
because
taking
he's
away
talented.
From him. But
another VTech guy who, if you saw him in college, he was a pretty good cover guy.
Yeah.
He didn't tackle good to me. Like,
no, he didn't. He didn't tackle good either. But I'm saying he didn't cover good either, though. He didn't cover good either. I mean, so you could see what their game plan was. Target Zach Ertz, because obviously he had 9 catches for 83 yards. They target Zach Ertz because you had safeties on him and DJ was checking him. DJ couldn't check him. You had inside linebackers trying to check them. They couldn't check them. And Zach Brown and Mason Foster. Then they did the screen game. They killed the Skins in the screen game. Then you're looking at on the Skins. On the flip side, for the Skins, they're not taking advantage of any mismatches. Like, at all. They're not even trying.
Another issue I had, too, on the offensive side of the ball was play calling. One play stands out in particular.
Man.
You're backed up after you stop the Eagles down in the red zone.
Yeah.
And you try to run Adrian Peterson, who was damn near tackled for a safety.
Yeah.
I'm going play action screen right there.
No, this is my issue. Not even that. Like, the first play I didn't have an issue with. The second play, why not do the play you did on third down and
right,
do it on first down?
To Brandon Davis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you do that on third down?
There you go. We're still along the same thought process. That's where people are questioning Jay's ability to make good judgment calls and adjust.
Look, my man Sean Deion Hamilton should be starting inside linebacker.
You had opportunities last night. You were up 10-7 at one point. You were down 14-13 coming out of the half with the ball.
With the ball.
You knew Mark Sanchez's limitations, but you do have two reliable tight ends that you could have went to that actually were effective when they got the ball.
Yeah. Again, Jay Gruden, you know, I've been supportive of Jay Gruden. I've been very supportive of Jay Gruden. It seems like it's about that time, bro. It's about that time. It gets to a point where you just don't know. You want to give him credit, and we're gonna talk about this probably in the next segment. But you want to give him. You want to give him some. I feel like you do want to give him an excuse, saying, you know what, you dealt with a lot of injuries, but you dealt with a lot of injuries last season. But then it goes to the X's and O's in the game, and you sit back and you're like, dude, you don't got it. You ain't motivating these cats.
That may be it. I'm wondering if defensively he thought they were better to start the season. I believe there was a confidence when we went to training camp that this was one of the better defensive groups that he's had since he's been the head coach. And starting the year off, you kept talking about it on the show, top five defense, which I never thought they really lived up to that. I just felt as though they were kind of bend but don't break. They had some games where teams did not challenge them. When they were challenged, like in the New Orleans game, I think they showed their vulnerabilities. But again, that was a special night for Breeze. You also got a chance to play against who? Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. The best defensive game I think I've seen him play this season was against Carolina.
The Cowboys.
I think Carolina.
They shut down Zeke. You shut down Zeke to like basically 2 points.
Well, I think the Cowboys weren't playing overall as an offense at the time.
But no, you're talking about the best game of defense play.
I think it's the Carolina.
Carolina's offense is the same. Is a stagnant offense too. I'm just saying, like, to me the best overall. No, I'll take that. No, definitely the Cowboys game, because the Carolina game, they were giving up big plays. Funches was catching passes and whatnot. That game wasn't. I wouldn't call it the best.
I think the last couple drives, maybe they gave up big chunks. But until then, McCaffrey, who you love, of course. I didn't love him at the time, but I can't hate on him no more. And you saw how Cam played after that. Now, of course, he's had his skid recently, but Cam, up until maybe last week, there were all these. Reports saying that Cam was playing his best ball in his career as a pocket passer.
I don't know. I thought.
But anyway, I don't even want to go back there. Yeah. So Jay thinks he has a good defense. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be an offensive mind. That's where people feel like he's lacking.
Well, I mean, I think the injury to Quentin Dunbar hurt, because then you had to play Stroman more as a guy you didn't expect to play, to be honest with you, this season. And you've seen in games where he's been exploited. And also in my opinion, they overworked the Bama board, what I call the Bama wall. They overworked the Bama wall because they weren't put at it for a bunch of the early part of the season. They weren't even subbing them out. So now we're at what, week 14 in the NFL season. Of course, don't get tired. You didn't rotate Tim Settles in more. Now you're starting to do it. But at this point in time, you could tell those guys are spent. So they're going to have to find ways to kind of rotate their D linemen. And also Manusky has to adjust. You've seen teams, offensive teams, adjust to what the Redskins are doing. What they're doing, and we've been seeing it for like the teams that you're referring to that like scored on this team, is they're taking advantage and having linebackers moving space left and right, and they're exploiting it. They're exploiting the screen game. And I've always said even with this defense, that if you look at the average yards per carry for offenses running the football against them, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world. It wasn't like they're the Baltimore Ravens. So I do agree with you on that point in terms of them trying to stop the run. But you see defenses spreading them out and running the football and having their linebackers move side to side and putting their linebackers in space. It's no secret. That's what they do. And pick plays. And they're using a bunch of pick plays.
It's unfortunate, but because they're only one game out of first place.
Yeah.
One game out of first place. You're still right there in the mix. And
eighth spot in the wild card.
I mean, it's not like you are, you know, just dead in the water. But then again, you feel like you are with Mark Sanchez behind center.
Yeah.
And even the way Jay sounds, like, we got to get him up to speed. We're bringing somebody else and try to give him a couple plays, make him comfortable. He sounds like a defeated man right now as well. And this is supposed to be your leader. That's where people are really going to question him heading to the offseason. Can he motivate guys? You just mentioned that.
Post this question on our Facebook page about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is now the Skins QB. Should they, should they give Kaepernick a tryout? Even though, like you said, Gruden did come out and say that that's highly unlikely. Rodney Moss, coach, said, why not? Cornelius Galt wrote, nah, it'll be a show. He's not ready. It would be pointless for him and the team. I think that's pretty much
it. He would probably be in shape, though. That's my guess.
Who?
Cap?
I think he'll be in shape.
Seems like this holistic type of guy.
Yeah, I think he'll be in shape. I think he'll be extra slim. I don't know if that's a good thing playing the quarterback position, because I know he had issues. He was too thin when he turned. I think he moved to being a vegan and he had issues early in the season. It was something like that, right?
Well, at the time, there were reports that he gave up meat.
Yeah.
I don't know about dairy. I don't know if he was actually a vegan, but it was a report that he lost a lot of muscle mass when he did that. Mm-hmm. But again, he might have went through kind of Ricky Williams. Remember Ricky Williams went through that, you know, Najee Ramba phase, smoking all that weed, and he came back so skinny.
Najee Ramba.
But when he came back lean, though, with the Dolphins, he was running. Beast. He was running the ball effectively.
Ricky was a beast. I mean, it's running backs. Running backs and quarterbacks are totally different things, though, bro. We can't agree on that, right?
Well, I look at some guys in the past. I want to say Ty Detmer, you know, some skinny guys who have prospered at quarterback. real quick, though, breaking news. University of Maryland hired Mike Locksley.
Who?
Mike Locksley, Alabama's offensive coordinator, as their head coach.
Oh, they got to recruit Alabama kids. They ain't getting no Alabama kids.
Well, see, though, that's my problem. I was going to say, just for the sake of this show, I hope George is listening. You wait. You see if Urban Meyer is really retired, quote unquote.
Oh, he's going to retire. He got, you know, he has like a tumor in his brain. He has to retire.
I'm hearing some different things. I'm hearing that.
You got to retire.
Obviously, they're going to say that his health is the number one issue. And it seems like that.
Based on what we've seen,
based on what you're saying too.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a mask or not, but it's also a report that he's kind of, in a nice way, being told that he needs to step down in Ohio State just based on what took place.
He already kept him. He's already good. And people already forgot about it. You know how people are.
I'm just saying. This is the sources that I'm hearing. So if he's really retired, that's one thing. But I think you could have waited to see what he was going to do.
I think other
retired
coaches,
is a big word, though.
I think
it's not like you're saying I'm resigning. He's saying he's retiring at the end of the year.
I think there's other coaches they could have targeted. Then again, if you're going to Alabama, you got to think that you're Nick Saban, that you can recruit Alabama kids. Nick Saban's getting the best of the best. Maryland's not bringing in the best of the best. I don't think just because someone states that, oh, you know what, we're from Bama, they're going to come over, they're going to come to Maryland. You're not Nick Saban. You know what I mean?
And to be honest with you, Alabama's not always known for their offense.
Exactly. You know, so what are you really?
I'm kind of questioning the hire. I'm sure that that'll be dissected throughout the course of the week. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't.
My bad. I don't know what happened to my voice. It just faded real quick.
Did it fade? I didn't hear a fade, dog.
Man, so how are you feeling as a Redskins fan, though? You always get a fan perspective. You're very passionate about it.
Look, man,
you argue us down. How are you feeling now? Defeated or?
No, I just want Bench Mason Foster, man. I want Sean Deion Hamilton to start. That's all I care about right now. All I care about is the next game. I'm gonna keep it a buck, because
he's a coach's favorite, though.
He's got to. This is what it is.
We saw the training camp.
Dog.
But they love Mason Foster.
But this is the thing. This is the issue, though. Like, if something is going wrong, you fix it. You change it. If you keep the same thing, it don't make no sense. Like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking that thing's going to change. He can't run.
That's true.
All right? He can't run.
Well, Wally, I want to say this, though. In today's game, it seems like it's harder to find the Larry Foote to the world. You know, that defensive middle, that middle defensive linebacker, general type
awesome
guy. Yeah, it doesn't exist like it used to.
But I'm not saying to find Brian Urlacher or Ray Lewis. I'm just saying to find somebody capable. I'm not even talking about finding the next all pro.
Somebody who can run.
Somebody who can run. You know what I mean? If he's chasing you, you know what I'm saying? He's an NFL player. If he's chasing you, he better catch you.
Did you see LeVon Kirkland at the end of his career?
He looked worse than Kirkland. I seen him at the end of his career.
That's who he
is. Seriously. He looked worse than Kirkland. You can't give me that, man. No, that was, it's atrocious. Again, I'm sure this guy, I'm sure Mason Foster's a nice guy. I heard that he's kind of deactivated his Twitter account because a lot of folks have been going ham on him. But at the end of the day, I'm not even, this is not even on Mason Foster. See, this is the thing. This is not even on Mason Foster. This is on the Skins coaching staff, the defensive coaching staff. Like, you should know, like, he can't run. Like, you should be like, okay, Mason, I mean, we appreciate what you've done for us. But still, you know what? I'm going to play the young boy. I'm going to play Vigil. I'm going to play Sean Deion Hamilton. I'm going to get them an opportunity. I'm going to spoil you a little bit. You know what I mean? But you didn't. But they ain't doing that. So, Mason, it's not even your fault. It's the coach's fault. It ain't your fault.
Sorry, Mason. You're the scapegoat.
So, yes, you are today. You are the scapegoat because that was atrocious. I can't watch that on national TV. Anyway, can the Skins get right against the Giants? We'll preview the game after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to, I did it to you again. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally. You know what? You're right. It's not on.
Good.
Myself, Wally, and Ray. We'll tease out Sunday. The Redskins take on the Giants. Can this team really beat the Giants with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback?
The Giants are not a good team right now, but they just beat a good team in the Chicago Bears. And it shows what they're capable of.
They've been playing good football of late, though, to be honest.
You know what? They've been inconsistent throughout the season, but mm-hmm. they have played some tough teams, and they played them, and they played some good games. But overall, this is a winnable matchup. Would you agree?
It's winnable. I mean, I'm being real. It's winnable. But a lot has to go right for them to win.
You got to hope Philly beats Dallas this week, and then you got Philly coming to your house if you win this game. Like I said, it's not over yet, but the feeling is with Mark Sanchez as a quarterback.
It's depressing. It's depressing. No lie.
You know what was encouraging, though, for me?
He wasn't horrible, though.
Last night and going into this week against the Giants, and maybe just a key on offense, is utilizing Thompson. Having him back is big.
But he didn't look good either. He didn't look good.
Nah, he's a weapon, though, that you
miss. No. I'm not saying he's not
like
good.
Bibbs brings a similar skill set, but he's not Thompson.
No, I agree. He just didn't look good. I like Thompson. He just didn't look good. He'll tell you, and he said that after the game. He was in tears, basically, of how bad he thought he played. He was dropping the football. He just didn't look like Chris Thompson.
Well, he just
this is his first game back. No, I'm not. Believe me. I'm a believer in Chris Thompson. I'm not saying like he's a scrub. I'm just saying that. Going into the game, I don't think no fan knows what to expect against the Giants. I mean,
to me, that he was a weapon that Alex Smith missed.
I think Alex Smith missed a lot
prior to.
I agree.
Obviously, Alex Smith's injury. So I just feel like that is something, somebody who can be a safety net for your quarterback.
This team hasn't won a game since Alex Smith's been hurt. I need Skins fans to recognize that too. All that Alex Smith.
Well, that's the only thing I can say. I guess in hindsight, I can agree with you on is. I don't care what you say about the strength of schedule. I don't care what you say about stats. I don't care what you say about our division. We are winning games. We're first place. Yeah. We're 6-3. Kirk Cousins never had us at 6-3.
Yeah. And Alex Smith was doing – it was winning. He wasn't losing you the game. But going to the Giants game, I mean, if you want to look at some positives, Landon Collins won't play, who's the Pro Bowl safety for the Giants. The Giants, against the pass, if you want to give – Mark Sanchez some confidence. Is 20th against the pass. So he'll have opportunities. But to me, Trent Williams and Morgan Moses have to play better than they did Monday night.
Morgan Moses averages 2 penalties a game. I swear he does.
Yeah, he does. A false
start. It's so annoying, and at the wrong times.
A false start.
I don't blame Trent. Like Booger pointed out in that great broadcast last night, that Trent Williams is a warrior. He's playing hurt.
Yeah.
He's doing it for the team.
Of course.
He's going to have his issues, but he's the best at his position when healthy.
Yeah. When healthy, he's the best at his position, in my opinion. But they have to play better, regardless of the injuries, because they're both dealing with big time injuries. But they both gotta play better for this team to win, because they are gonna play against a talented pass rusher in Vernon, Olivier Vernon. So they're going to have to play better than what we saw Monday night. If they can hold up and play well in terms of pass protection, then I feel like the Skins have an opportunity. They can keep Sanchez upright, comfortable in the pocket. With the Giants secondary, there are opportunities. Again, like I mentioned, not having Landon Collins in the game will be opportunities for folks like Jordan Reed and even Josh Dotson, who had a decent game in limited attempts. He had 3 catches, I believe, like 51 yards, excuse me. There's an opportunity. Will it happen? Who knows? Mason Foster, Saquon Barkley, I'm not really enthused by that matchup. We've seen Mason Foster versus Adams, Sproles, and who else? And who am I missing in that game? Clemens, thank you. And he ran away from Mason. They all ran away from Mason. They all ran away from Mason. So if it's Saquon Barkley coming out that backfield and Mason Foster's on him, I'm not feeling good about that matchup.
Can Jay Gruden make adjustments? And also, can Jay Gruden motivate his team? I wonder what he's saying, what his message is in the locker room. Are you telling your guys, look, guys, we still got two division games coming up. We control our own destiny. All we have to do is win these games.
Mm-hmm.
Is he motivating these guys? The good thing is, I feel like, you know, the majority of guys on defense recognize we've been decimated by injuries. We've played our heart out. We've been in games. We gotta keep moving. We gotta stay the course. I got that feeling just listening to the interviews last night, watching the body language as the team walked off the field. But again, your leader seems defeated, and that's Jay Gruden.
So do you think? So did Jay get a pass with the injuries? Because you know he's dealt with a lot of injuries. Does he get a pass to you?
Well, no. And I'm going to piggyback off of Ryan Clark and many others who have been on ESPN. And Mike McCarthy, who's made the playoffs in Green Bay 9 times, won a Super Bowl, is fired during the middle of a season. Jay Gruden has made the playoffs 1 time in 5 years. No matter what, everybody has injuries. It's a league of what have you done for me.
Agreed.
Lately, and with Jay Gruden, what have you done for me at all? Mm. The good thing, if you're a Redskin fan, is at least the owner has shown an ability to now stick with someone as the head coach and saying, you know what, I'm going to ride this out. Because if he would have done this with, let's say, a Marty Schottenheimer, we might be having a different discussion about this franchise today.
I have no idea.
We don't know, but I'm just saying hypothetically.
Could.
But I'm just think about it. Spurrier.
Joe Gibbs should have stayed, though.
Spurrier. Gibbs.
Gibbs should have stayed. Gibbs was okay.
He ran an 80s offense. But anyway.
What you talking about? Like,
Spurrier. We're not going to do that. Shanahan. Spurrier.
All right, we're not doing
Gibbs.
This.
Schottenheimer, come on now. You went through so many guys, and then you all of a sudden stick with Gruden. Why him? Because, again, the owner's trying to change
his image.
Yeah, I mean, really, to be honest with you, I got to be careful. I'll tell you off the air. I'm not going to say that. I don't want to say anything that's going to be damaging to my because I don't want to say. And that's like, who am I right now? But you never know.
All right, well,
anyway,
on Facebook, we posed the same question on our Facebook page. Johnny Ford Jr. wrote, no, even if I entertain that for 1 second, then you have to examine why our front office seems to go for injury-prone players or try to adjust players to a weak-ass scheme and not the other way around. But that's another topic. This franchise is a complete dumpster fire. Jay Gruden always looks outmatched and never is fully in control of what's going on. The play calling is trash. His ability to manage a game with a desire to win is trash. He doesn't coach to win. He coaches not to lose. Soft, predictable play calling and no ability to adjust the game plan. He should not be a head coach in this league at all. Period. And Robert Spence and Leonard Steve said both said no about Jay Gruden.
Yo, I just named 4 coaches and I forgot about the Zorn star, by the way.
Yeah.
I forgot all about Jay-Z, man. Come on.
That's a bad coach.
He wants to be a quarterback coach, and we never saw him again. Yeah. And that may just,
stay medium, that may be
what happens.
Stay medium, bro.
That may be what happens to my boy Gruden. He may end up going to be a quarterback's coach after this.
Oh, I think he may be the Raiders. He may be the Raiders coach. He may be a Raiders quarterback coach. Yeah, with his brother. I can see that happening. All right. The four teams for the college football playoffs have been announced. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss them after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis. You dig? Deuces.
Did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink. This my day. Lucky you, how you do? Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room, give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about the shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall, turn my back on you, all of you finished. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job, put my map out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's just back to the pushing, he taxing, I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically fucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing, it's time. Straight out the kitchen, I told him the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jammies, a partridge, a petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. Run at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop all like a uno. Calles de boca, my homa, they call it Obuto, and all of you culo. Step better to level up in the ghetto, looking for something I probably can never find now. Sugar relevant, but tellin' the beat die down. The truth is, didn't really want me tied down. I've been alone, and I never needed nobody, just only me and my shawty, I tell you, didn't get the lie down. He bought the money, I never wanted a lifestyle. I just pray to God, my son will be all right now. I said, ain't no love for the other side, or anyone who ever wants smoke. When I die, I'm going out as an underdog who never lost hope. You in the wrong cab, down the wrong path, the wrong way, wrong road. Snakes in the grass, trying to slither fast, I just bought a fucking lawnmower.
I said a lot of things in my day. I admit it, this is payback in a way. I regret it that I did it. I don't want a couple Grammys, but I sold my soul to get them. Wasn't in it for the trophies, just the fucking recognition. Fuck's the difference, I'm that cracker, been the law. Fuck the rules, man, I used to risk it all. Now I got too much to lose, I've been eating long enough. Man, my stomach should be full. I just ate, licked the plate, my buffet. Lucky me, fuck you think? Woo! I got a couple of mentions, still I don't have any manners. You got a couple of ghostwriters, but to these kids it don't actually matter. They're asking me what the fuck happened to hip-hop. I said I don't have any answers, cause I took a nap when I dropped my last album. It hurt me like hell, but I'm back on these rappers. And actually coming from humble beginnings, I'm somewhat uncomfortable winning. I wish I could say what a wonderful feeling. We're on the upswing like we're punching the ceiling, but nothing is feeling like anyone has any fucking ability to even stick to a subject. It's killing me, the inability to pin humility. Why don't we make a bunch of fucking songs about nothing and mumble and walk it? I'm going for the juggler. There's a circus, you clowns that are coming up. Don't give an ounce of a motherfucker about the ones who are here before you. That made raps, recap, way back, and tease that. Recap on tape decks, eight dance for the G-Raps and K-Zack. We need three stacks ASAP and bring Matt the ace back, cause it's half of these rappers have brain damage. All the lean rapping face tats are up out like tree sap. I don't hate trap and I don't wanna see mad, but in fact what I owe me at the same cat that would take that feedback and aim back. I need that, but I think it's inevitable. They know a button to press it, whatever the pull to give me the snap though. And if I paid attention I'm probably making it bigger, but you've been taking it, bitch, and I'm fucking back walking on the freaking minute. Got me thinking of finishing everything with a seed of minifin and reaping the benefits. I'm asleep at the wheel again as I'm peeking and thinking about an evil intent of another beat. I'm a killigan, cause even if I got it in a beating a pill again, even ketamine and methamphetamine with a mini tin, it better be at least 70 or 300 milligram, and I might as well, cause I'm gonna end up being a villain again. Level to this shit, I got an elevator. You could never say to me I'm not a fucking record breaker. I sound like a broken record every time I break a record. Nobody could ever take away the legacy I made. I never cater, motherfucker. Never got a right to be this way. I got spikes inside my DNA, but I roll till the wheels fall off. I'm working tirelessly, ayy. It's the moment y'all been waiting for, like California wishing rain to pour, and that drought y'all been praying for, my downfall. From the 8 Mile to the South Pass to the same marshal, that outlaw that they say is a writer might have fell off. I'm back on that bull like the cowboy. So y'all gotta move, yeah.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, myself, Wally, Will T's out. So it's been announced that Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma have made the college football playoffs. Oklahoma and Alabama are playing in the Orange Bowl, and I believe Notre Dame and Clemson are playing in the Cotton Bowl. Do you agree with the four teams selected?
I can't argue with it. That's how I'm going to frame it.
Yeah.
Although If you place Georgia in there, I have no problem with it.
I wasn't mad at
it
either.
I have no problem with it. I do have a problem with Ohio State, however, which many people advocate that they should be in it, but I don't agree.
Oh, now I think Ohio State. I mean, I'm being real, like with the Ohio State thing, not speaking because I'm a Michigan fan. They beat the crap out of Michigan 39-62. But they lost to Purdue, I believe 20-49. And Purdue is an average team, not a good team, an average team. And when you look at what Oklahoma lost to Texas, a rival, a team that wasn't in the top 25. So if you look at the losses, I'm gonna pick Oklahoma over Ohio State. But George, I'm with you with Georgia. Like if you look at the eye test, I guess for me the only reason why I wouldn't be mad if Georgia was in it because they're the only team that's not scared of Bama. They're the only team that's not
right. They just need to learn how to finish.
Yeah,
they need to learn how to finish. They need to learn how to control the clock. And I feel as though there was some anxiety in reference to what happened in the national championship game last season, which affected their ability to move forward because they were dominating Bama.
Yeah,
dominating Bama. That was Tua's worst game.
Yeah,
I felt good for Jalen Hurts. Don't get me wrong.
Of course,
I felt so good because he's such a good kid.
Yeah,
he made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got love
by staying in Bama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because many would have left, man. But
I would have left too.
He sees. Oh yeah, of course.
I left too, bro.
I was upset with Nick Saban. I feel like Nick Saban is still fake to some degree.
I think he's so fake.
I'm gonna let it go though. But the thing is, Georgia is in one of those situations that you see in the Western Conference of the NBA. Sometimes Golden State and let's say Houston last year, they're the two best teams. Houston can't win a championship because they got to go through Golden State. It's not fair. Georgia has to go through Alabama just to get into the playoff. That is not fair, bro. You know what I mean? And that's where the committee got it wrong. Now, I was listening to, again, ESPN. What was said was, if this was the BCS system, you would have Alabama and Clemson, and they would be in the title game, and it wouldn't be four teams. So let's be happy with what we have. And again, that's why I said I cannot argue with it.
No, I think the four teams is great to me. I like the four teams that are involved. You can't
what do you think about Notre Dame, man? A lot of people are questioning.
They're undefeated. They're
questioning them because of their schedule.
No, they're undefeated. They beat Michigan. They beat some tough teams. Yeah.
They look pretty good to me. You cannot
argue. You said the same thing about Clemson.
Clemson haven't beat nobody.
Yeah, so you can't argue about Notre Dame. I think they're just
their conference is weak.
Yeah, so to me, like if you're gonna use the argument about Notre Dame, like at least
I was asking.
No. I think Notre Dame is strong. You know, I think a strong team. I think none of these teams. The only team that I feel like they can beat Bama if Tua was playing. It's Clemson. Because I think Clemson's not scared of it. They're just not scared of Bama.
Clemson has a coach that is not far behind Saban as far as being a football mind and a game planner.
I just think he's not scared of Saban. I don't know if he's better than Saban.
I say he's better. He's not far.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I think it's fair. I think that's fair.
And he knows I've beaten him before.
He's just not scared of him.
And you know what?
He's not scared
really,
of him.
Really, the year before they beat Saban, they lost. They barely lost. Right.
They barely lost.
And I believe, was Shaq Lawson on the team back then?
Yeah, the first one? He was on the team.
They were stout defensively,
too. Yeah, they were
stout. Again.
They played him last year, too. They beat him.
And you know what else?
They played him last year, too.
Tua is the wrinkle.
Yeah, Tua is the wrinkle,
up until now, Bama's offense going into a national championship game was looked at as their weakness.
Yeah, now it's a strength.
Right. Now it's like, whoa. That's why what Georgia did was so respectable. Yeah. But again, Georgia did not make the proper adjustments as far as controlling the clock and still playing to win. And Georgia was beating them in the passing game, too.
Yeah.
So maybe, just maybe, they show some of Alabama's flaws in that game.
The only issue is that because of who Alabama's going to play in the first round and Oklahoma. But if Tua's playing, there's no way. And I'm saying this. And I know we're going to probably make our predictions later on another show. But if Tua's playing, there is no way that they're losing to Oklahoma. Because Oklahoma's defense is the worst. It's atrocious.
Bruh, the thought is that it's going to be a shootout. Period. Because Oklahoma's offense is real.
Oh, Murray's amazing.
They're real.
But I would take Alabama's defense to bottle up that type of offense than compared to Oklahoma even stopping Bama once. Like, I don't think Oklahoma can stop Bama at all.
Now, here's the thing. If it's a shootout, we won't be surprised. But if Bama wins in a route, we won't be surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way they can win the route. If they win, they're going to have to outscore Bama. Period.
And I don't think that Yeah, I don't think they can stop Bama that many times. Unless they go, maybe they go ham and go for two every time they score. I don't know.
But you know something what? Crazy. Though, here's where now I want to say that Tua's banged up, right?
Yeah.
But here's where the layoff actually helps Alabama.
Agreed.
Which kind of sucks. But then again, you know what? This is how it's been. Yeah. Let's keep it. Let's not change it because Tua. If I'm a fan of Alabama, I'm like yes. And if my team, quote unquote, the team I root for, which I don't really have a college football team that I root for,
you just Florida State no more. You don't got Florida State no more.
No.
Not even.
Now, again, as you've seen, I've gravitated towards the home teams in almost everything except for
the Skins.
NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
And even the Skins I don't hate. It's just there are times where, we'll have to discuss it. Right? anyway, but going back, if I'm rooting for, let's say, if this was the term, you would be excited if this was Maryland in the Final Four.
Yeah,
and if it's Maryland's quarterback that's hurt, I'm like, yes, we get a break.
Yeah.
I can't be mad that Bama gets a break and they get to get healthy. It's not fair. This is how it's been, so I'm okay with it. From a game planning perspective, also you give Saban that time to prepare for Oklahoma, which annoys me as well.
Yeah.
However, if you are Oklahoma, to me, you have to mix things up. You cannot go with the same playbook that you've had or the same script you've had all season. Yeah. Now, it sounds simple, but I'm telling you, you know how simplistic college offenses are.
Yeah,
this was one of the issues that has plagued many teams that have faced Alabama in the past. Mm-hmm. Saban is ready for them, and that defense knows everything that's coming.
Yeah.
Who did he turn into a first-round pick, a lineman, play for Detroit? No, he played for Auburn.
Say who you talking about? Saban?
Yeah, my bad. I'm mixing somebody up.
A defensive lineman, or offensive lineman.
No, I got the wrong person.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, Saban. To me, Saban has made NFL players based on national championship games because they perform so well. That's my point. I was trying to think of someone.
Five star recruit. That's why
I was trying to think of someone.
NFL players already. They five star recruits. That's why the NFL players already.
Yeah, that's true. But he gets the most out of.
You know he does. He does a great job. His Bama kids will tell you that.
I got the wrong guy I'm thinking about. But anyway.
But you know, I guess if I'm Oklahoma, I will say this, though. Teams with spread offenses, you saw with Johnny Manziel, you've seen it with other quarterbacks, even in Deshaun Watson. If you have a spread offense, you can do some things against an Alabama defense. Again, it goes back to the whole premise of can Oklahoma's defense stop Alabama's offense if healthy, and I just don't think they can at all.
I totally think that Alabama's defense coming off that layoff is going to be looking.
You ready?
They're going to be flying to the ball. One thing in particular I wanted to point out though is that what was I trying to say? It was just on the tip of my tongue. Can't remember.
All right, everybody go to break them. You can't remember.
Go ahead.
Okay. Did Fury get screwed Saturday night against Wilder? We'll discuss that after the break and listen to the Urban Sports Scene for Ikes.
You dig? Arse.
Deuces.
Forgot.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Eddie Kuja with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight. Don't call it a comeback.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. We'll tease out Saturday, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder and the lineal champion Tyson Fury ended their fight in a draw. Was Fury robbed?
It's tough to say. I can't argue with it. I want to point out, first of all, though, that I received a text message, two of them, by the way. Okay. Will T said he had Wilder in 9. You said you had Wilder in 5. Now, what did mine say? I think it may go the distance. I said it.
You
I'm telling you, I
that.
Called it.
You did say
it. And here's distance. Why.
It could have been dropped,
Tyson yeah. Fury came out lean. He
is that,
came
is
out.
That lean?
He looked like. For him, yes. For him. You don't
he
think he looked.
No, real talk. You're right.
For him, he looked good, man.
Yeah.
He looked good enough to wear that press conference just before the fight, which was staged, by the way. Dude, he took off his shirt, broke out the jacket and his shirt. But he, you know what? He looked good. He prepped for the fight. And he fought a good fight. But you know what? He never hurt Wilder.
Who's Tyson?
No,
because he's not a puncher. He doesn't have any real punching power.
My man King Kong, my man Ortiz, Luis Ortiz, he hurt Deontay Wilder,
of course,
in a fight before. But Deontay Wilder was never hurt. That's why it was a draw, because the judges felt like he didn't do enough to take the title. He didn't do enough to hurt him. Deontay Wilder said after the fight, yeah, he outpunched me, but who landed a more plush, powerful shot?
Yeah,
even though he's wild, though, he throws wild shots.
I wouldn't say, like, this is the thing. He wasn't even active enough to even say that, to even have that argument. Deontay Wilder in that fight to me. Like, looking in that fight, other than round two, out and the knockdowns, that's three rounds that Deontay even won.
I respect your scorecard, but
I had it 115-111.
I saw that.
That thing is, it's not even like, and to be honest with you, I was sitting beside somebody when watching the fight, and I was like, yeah, I gave that round to Deontay. He was like, well, arguably, you could give that round to Fury. And I was like, well, if that's the case, then only got Deontay having two rounds. And I'm rooting for Deontay. Like, as you could put by the prediction, because you know I like being right, I was rooting for Deontay. Like, I want Deontay
to
win.
You don't like his style, though.
No, but I still want, no. I want Deontay to win so bad because I want him to get knocked out by Anthony Joshua. Like,
get knocked out.
Oh, he getting knocked out by Anthony Joshua.
Nah.
Like, he's getting, like, this fight exposed who this dude really, like.
No, he's been exposed. Come on now.
No, but I'm saying, Anthony Joshua knocks folks out, too. Don't think he has power. He has punching power. And he's a boxer. He's a boxer with punching power.
No, I like Andy Joshua. I think he's the most skilled heavyweight we have. But again, this is Deontay Wilder, who is not the most skilled fighter, but he has the most powerful right hand.
No, he's a powerful heavyweight fighter,
and he's a home right hand. You know what? Fury pulled a Rocky move and got up, dog. Because if not, it wasn't for
a
that.
A Rocky move? He was like the Undertaker. This dude came out. Like, I lie to you not. When Deontay knocked him down, I thought it was a knockout. Yeah, I jumped out. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was boosted. I was like, I turned my back.
That's some Rocky stuff. That's some Creed stuff.
I turned my back. The dude is up. I'm like, what the?
And then he came back and he rocked him.
And he rocked him. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, listen. Fury though, he's not mentally stable, and that's what you get when you hit somebody who's mentally unstable. they don't go away. They keep coming back. It's crazy.
So you don't feel like this fight exposed, like, all right, did this fight expose Wilder in a future
no,
fight?
No, he's been exposed.
All right.
Again, the Ortiz fight, he was losing.
That's true.
It's just, again, the dude has hands. You cannot you cannot argue with that man's power. It's like Jermall Charlo. Remember before J-Rock?
Yeah.
He was losing.
Yeah.
But he's so powerful, he came back.
Knocked
him out.
Heard
getting ready to fight his brother.
Yeah, I know.
Nah.
They were talking a lot. He was talking a lot of smack.
Yeah, he always do.
But
Heard will knock him out, though, if he's on his game.
Yeah, my man Armand Lee. What's up, Armand? He said that I think AJ was going to be Wilder anyway. This fight only cements the argument and gives AJ Hearns another more viable option to fight other than Wilder, but Fury will be tough for AJ too. I think, yeah, I agree. I gained more respect for Tyson Fury after the fight. I thought he'd be knocked out early.
Anthony Joshua will probably beat Fury in a 12-round decision.
I don't think he'll knock him out. Here's the thing.
I know you say Anthony Joshua is going to knock Deontay Wilder out, but Wilder can knock him out as well.
Yeah, he can.
I watched. I mean, I watched several Anthony Joshua fights. The Klitschko fight comes back to mind. If that was Wilder that hit him when he went down,
but Klitschko got popped too, though.
He got knocked out.
I know he has power. Oh. Klitschko got a lot of power. His jazz has a lot of power. He has a lot of power. Like, Klitschko ain't a weak puncher.
Vladimir Klitschko was done by the time he fought Wilder.
I'm just saying his punching power.
His punching power. At that stage of career, you think it was still the same?
Yeah, it was still good. Like, his jab power good,
yes,
is good.
But still the same.
I mean, Deontay, I'm not going to compare his power to Deontay Wilder. I think Deontay Wilder is one of the more powerful heavyweights, period. You saw it was quite evident in the fight Saturday. Like, you saw it. Like, this dude was getting his butt beat, and he still was able to get two knockdowns in the fight. Like, no, he's a powerful dude. You saw what he did to Ortiz. Like, he's got pop. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm just saying that he can get caught. He can get got.
Oh,
too,
but the thing is, he got a chin. See, Ortiz, when he fought Ortiz, he showed he had a chin. That's why I respect him.
You know what's so funny, though? prior to Ortiz, he showed you that he couldn't really take a punch pretty well. Like, he didn't respond well to a punch.
Oh, that's okay.
So it's like, so I'm just saying, in the back, it's still there that he can get rocked.
Now, here's the thing. If he cannot get his hands or land a power shot on Anthony Joshua, he's going to lose in a Floyd Mayweather-esque type manner, exactly, where he's going to be getting popped the whole fight.
Oh, I agree.
And he's going to lose. But you know what, though? After the fight, his eye was swollen. So Fury definitely landed some good.
He caught him a couple times.
Fury won the fight. Look, he did. But you get knocked out twice, and you never really hurt the dude.
But it's street rules though. But if you grading it off around, like,
this was
off
the same thing
round
with Canelo and Triple G.
Yeah.
Triple G didn't do enough to take the man's title. That's what the judges felt like.
But he did have
the
more. But we talking about two or one.
Two.
Man, but Canelo did have rounds when he was like solidly hitting him.
Well, that's true too.
You know what I mean?
That's
like, this you can't
say. Yeah,
that.
You can't say about Wilder and his wild swinging.
You can't say that.
Is it, you know what? We at least got a good heavyweight class.
We did though. I agree.
You know what?
A good one.
To me, a guy like Lennox Lewis is like, man, this is bad boxing. Wilder throws punches like a dude fighting in a cafeteria at Duval. Like, he just throwing haymakers.
He's throwing haymakers.
And they sideways.
Bro, there's no plan to it.
There's no pop.
There's no plan. Forget the, like, there's no plan. It's like, I'm going to throw
it. Who's working with this dude? Is it, seriously, he needs a coach that's going to teach this guy. He needs Freddie Roach. He needs Freddie Roach in his corner.
Well, Freddie Roach was in what's the name's corner?
The contender? Oh.
No, he was in He was in Fury's quarter. He was like the, but he had like a chill job though, like the cut man or something in his corner or some crap.
Well, he needs to educate Deontay Wilder.
Man, somebody
see Deontay, because Deontay Wilder. I mean, you know what though? I don't see Tyson leaned on his power too and knockout strength, but he could box.
He yeah, I mean Tyson.
Tyson
in
was
jail.
Very similar. After
it was different.
No,
he was throwing helmet. He was throwing.
Well, because he wasn't mentally stable.
Yeah, but before jail, like you said, he was clean. He was clean.
Yeah,
he was boxing.
He was still boxing, and he was undersized.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it is what it is.
We'll make
these
picks.
Yeah, we'll make our NFL week 14
Deontay
picks
Wilder
after the break.
Swing.
You listen to Urban Sports Stay for Ages. You dig? Deuces. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight. Oh man, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, myself, Wilder, Will,
Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury. I'm furious. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show.
We got to talk more boxing. Go ahead, sorry.
I know, right? Who are you telling? We do a weekly pick'em challenge with them in week 13 from the Football Garbage Time crew. Scott went 11-4. Hakun Wong and Ryan went 10-5. Joanne went 9-6. Within the Urban Sports Scene, Ray went 10-5. Will went 9-6. I went 8-7. Our homie George went 8-7. Here are our overall records.
Here are our records. Let me see.
Ray is in first place. He's 113, 76-2. Will and I are tied for second place or last place, whatever you want to call it, at 109, 80-2. I know, right? I had a big fall. That's cool. That was tech.
You know what it separated me from you?
What's up?
I pick against the Redskins every week. Now.
I know. That's how
you don't. But Mark Sanchez is alive and well, baby. Nah, you better jump on this train over here.
I don't know what I'm gonna do right now. I have no idea. I gotta check my head. I have no idea.
If the Falcons played the Bills this week, I wouldn't pick the Falcons.
The Bills?
They played the Packers though.
Yeah, you should pick. If they played the Bills, you should pick.
No,
the
sir.
The Bills don't score. They don't score.
The Falcons.
All right, Jaguars, Titans.
I'll take the Titans.
I got the Oh, dang. I don't know who I picked in this one. I give me the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars. Jets, Bills.
Give me the Bills.
Give me the... Darn, who I pick on this one, too? This is a tough one. I want to say I picked the... Yeah, I picked the... I want to say I picked... I got the Bills. I'm confident. I got the Bills. Panthers, Browns.
I'll take the Panthers.
Yeah, I'll take the Panthers as well. Falcons, Packers.
I'll take the Packers.
I'll take the Packers. Ravens, Chiefs.
Man. Give me the Chiefs all day.
Yeah, give
Lamar
me the Chiefs.
Lamar Jackson, why isn't Johnny Manziel in the league? If he's in the league, I'm sorry.
He's winning. He's 3-0. It is what it is.
I hate that. Tim Tebow went to the playoffs.
I know, right? That's some real stuff, though. Who I picked? I got the Chiefs. Yeah, definitely. Patriots, Dolphins.
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots. Saints, Buccaneers.
Saints.
Give me the Bucks. Giants, Skins.
Giants.
I want to pick the Giants, too.
Loyalty inside your DNA. Gosh, is that hard?
Give me the Skins, man.
Oh wow.
Because Collins isn't playing. Collins wasn't playing. If Collins was playing, I would definitely pick the Giants. You know what? I have faith that stupid Jay Gruden and freaking... what's his name?
Abel Sanchez.
No, that's what no, I'm no, no, not Sanchez. I ain't worried about Sanchez.
Going back to boxing, baby.
Minuski. They're gonna make the right changes, man. And somebody's not gonna be starting on
all
on Sunday. Colts versus the Texans.
Give me the Colts an upset.
Give me the Texans. Bengals versus the Chargers.
Oh, give me the new Dan Marino.
Yeah. What? My man, give me the Chargers. That was my Super Bowl pick. Broncos versus the Niners.
Mine was the Rams, believe it or not. I guess the Jaguars was terrible. Go ahead. I'll take the Broncos, sir.
I'll take the Broncos as well. Eagles versus the Cowboys.
I'll take the Eagles.
I think the Cowboys can win this game. It's a tough one, though. I can't pick the Cowboys. Give me the Eagles. Steelers versus the Raiders.
Steelers.
Lions versus the Cardinals.
Give me the Lions.
Give me the Cardinals. Rams versus the Bears.
Give me the Rams.
Give me the Rams. Yeah. Vikings versus the Seahawks.
I'll take the Seahawks.
Give me the Seahawks. Will T picked. Let me look at Will's picks now. Will. My man Will. He has the Titans, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Panthers, the Packers, the Saints, the Bills, the Patriots, the Rams, the Giants, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Eagles, the Steelers, and the Vikings. You know what?
Who are you picking the Houston game? He picked the Texans.
He picked the Texans. Cool, cool. You know what?
All right.
Real talk. On the low,
I sound too similar.
I want you to know, on the low, like, he's still an Eagles fan.
Oh.
On the low, he's still
Why,
an Eagles
he said
fan.
Something?
He always picks the Eagles.
Oh.
If you pay attention to him, he always picks the Eagles.
Well, I picked the Eagles because I think the Cowboys are still vulnerable.
Why do you think they're vulnerable?
Like, in the Thanksgiving game against the Skins, we're talking about bad tackling. They did nothing special.
Yeah, that's true. I know
you know what I mean?
Good point. Very good point.
If you just simply
take away the bad tackling.
If you simply tackle, then there's no long touchdown throw.
Yeah, I got it.
Then against the Saints, they didn't do anything offensively. Seriously. And I'm looking like, dang, they can't even score against the Saints defense. Now, you know I'm an Atlanta fan, I'm acknowledging Atlanta's been bad this year.
Yeah.
With all the injuries. But Atlanta, in both Saints games, The one at home, they should have won. It was a shootout.
Yeah.
They lost by one,
mm-hmm.
where both teams put up dang near 40 points.
Gotcha.
But on the road, even on the road, Atlanta game 17, my goodness.
Yeah.
No. With Ito Smith in the backfield, for goodness sakes.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Judge Lance Ito. He was named after the OJ Judge, man. That's who our running back is, bro.
All right, now we're going
It to... could be worse, though. Mark Sanchez could be my quarterback.
You know what? Now we're ending the show. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.
sway.
I pledge allegiance to the sway.
I pledge allegiance to the sway.
I pledge allegiance.